101.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate July 1st. From the southern hemisphere, you can see a dark region in the sky next to the famous Southern Cross. This dark coal sack region is much larger than the full moon, a strange dark blot in the southern sky. Today we know the coal sack as a dark cloud in the Milky Way. It appears black because it obscures light from the stars behind it. That's the modern explanation. But on a dark night, the sight of the coal sack stimulates the imagination. Located in the starlit trail of the southern Milky Way, the dark cloud looks like nothing so much as a hole in the fabric of the stars. Around the turn of the century, people mistakenly believed that our Milky Way galaxy constituted the entire universe. In the year 1908, in his book Curiosities of the Sky, Garrett Serviss suggested that the coal sack and other dark regions in the Milky Way might be actual holes in the universe. He wrote, "Are they really windows in the star walls of the universe? Some of them look rather as if they had been made by a shell fired through a luminous target, allowing the eye to range through the hole into void space beyond." He later suggested that if we could carry our telescopes to the edge of the great coal sack, we might peer out and see other universes beyond ours. A fanciful idea and an incorrect one. But if you ever see the coal sack, a great dark blot in the southern sky, you'll know where the idea came from. This is Stardate, our writer, producer, Deborah Bird. We'd like to send you a copy of Stardate magazine. If you want to see one, send your name and address and $1 to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, Austin, zip 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in...
Is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Brain damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
We We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Maybe we can get a napkin in here or something. Yeah, just a napkin or any, yeah. Good evening. Hi. Had some trouble with iced tea spilled all over the place here. And a mop would do fine. Yeah, that would be good. Thank you. It's from the Hard Luck Deli downstairs, which believes in selling open containers of things. Oh, well. Good evening. That's none of your concern. It's just something we have to iron out here at the radio station. All over the place here. Okay, I'm Eric Corley with Brain Damage up until midnight, and we're talking about all kinds of fun things tonight, as we always do. It's a call-in program. That means you can call in and participate by dialing 632-6901, area code 516-632-6901. Oh, paper towels, beautiful, thank you very much. 632-6901. Right, underneath the machine there. Right, that's where most of it went. Okay. We have a few things to go through here. A lot of funny things are going on in the world, you know? A lot of funny things are always happening, besides spilling things around here, which is a common event. Things like, okay, listen to this. In Poland, right, the... remember the Communist Party and how they suppressed the Solidarity Uprising in 1981? Well, now, General, of all the world leaders in the world, I have the most trouble pronouncing his name. General You know, Chris?
It's freezing in there.
You don't know anything about world affairs, do you? I'm trying to pronounce this Polish guy's name. I could be here the whole night trying to figure this out because I don't want to make a fool of myself. The thing is, I've heard it said, and maybe you know, Jim. Do you know how to pronounce it?
Oh, gee.
You got to admire somebody with a name like
Wojciech
that. Hold on, Chris wants to say something. Yes, Chris.
All right, what did you want me to do?
I wanted you to announce the, or pronounce, rather, the Polish ruler.
Polish ruler?
Yeah. And I don't mean the thing you're holding in your hand. I mean the leader of the country. What's his name?
Not familiar with him, actually. How do you spell it?
Poland. Remember it was created...
Yeah, I know. But how do you spell the name?
Okay, all right. You asked for it. W-O-J-C-I-E-C-H is the first name.
Wach.
Okay, that's your attempt at that. The second name is J-A-R-U-Z-E-L-S-K-I. And I've heard it before. I know how it sounds. It's just I don't think I can do it.
I think it's
Jaruzelski. Hold on.
Why are people calling this early?
I think... Oh, by the way, I hope this isn't a non-sequitur, but the deli was open, but are you disappointed that we can't order up?
No, I'm not disappointed. I was just commenting on the Hard Luck Deli, which is what I call that place, because...
Oh, okay.
First of all, they were moving like sloths tonight.
It was
amazing. I was just, you know, there was nobody in front of me, yet I had to wait online. You explain that.
Interesting. Although I didn't have a problem. I'm not questioning your...
Who's at the door?
Your credibility. I'll go get it, then.
Just no, it's little... all right. It's gotten. Don't worry.
Oh, it's gotten. Okay, but if you still want to order something, you know, I'll...
A place that will deliver to here, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to. I mean, I realize here I ran down there. I was exuberant and, you know, jubilant that they were open. Then I forgot that I had suggested that we might order something,
well,
and now I feel bad about it.
You know, that's... Yeah, it's a... Well, I mean, I've got some munchies here, too.
But, I mean, if you still want to later, I'm willing to do it. I want to go on the record as saying that I'm willing to do
it. Okay. It's something we might be able to discuss at some point. But this, like all the iced tea that we've spilled around here, is of no concern to our listeners.
I know. I realize that.
We've spent a lot of time talking about both of that so far. It's 16 minutes after 10 o'clock, and all we've talked about is the spilled iced tea and getting food in the Hard Luck Deli downstairs.
Actually, Eric, which clock?
Jaruzelski, I think,
three
is the last
words
name. Wojciech, I think it's Wojciech Jaruzelski.
Wojciech, thank you, Jim. No, say the last one again.
Jaruzelski?
That sounds right to me.
I can't do it.
Jaruzelski.
It's like a sneeze. It won't come.
Sounds easy to me, Eric.
Okay, well, anyway, this is what he did, which I think is really interesting.
I think he tried to pronounce your name, actually. Yeah.
Well, he might have trouble doing that, but I've gotten the hang of it.
Eric?
Yes.
Why are we getting calls already?
Because I asked people to call.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say we'd answer it. I just said we'd, you know, call in. It's a call-in program. Huh. So they're content to let the phone ring for however long it takes for us to answer it. They're not being charged a penny for it.
No. Unless they're calling from a Rome phone.
Unless they're calling from a Rome phone, yes.
In which case, they were billed in the first 5 seconds.
Your billed from the moment you look at your telephone.
What
food
do you have?
Oh, boy.
I could eat in here.
You're billed from the moment you look at your telephone with the intent of making a call. It's written in the student manual here.
Oh, no,
what's
no,
the
no,
chatter out
no
there?
Meat, no meat, no fish either.
Anyway, the Polish guy who crushed Solidarity in 1981 announced yesterday he would not run for president. Listen to what he said. This is amazing. I do not intend to stand for the post of president of the Polish People's Republic, he told a joint meeting of the 230-member committee and communist parliamentary...
Meeting?
Never mind that. Parliamentary deputies. I am not shirking responsibility, for I never have, but I must take social realities into account. I know well that public opinion associates me with martial law and much less frequently with the reform program. Hmm. A tired society has the right to ask, when will the sun shine over Poland, shine again over Poland? That's amazing. I mean, this guy is being so open about things. I mean, glasnost in Poland now. No kidding. So that's the news out of there, which I thought was pretty interesting. Now, North Korea, one of the most isolated countries in the world, is opening up a bit. After nearly four decades of keeping its doors closed to the outside, tightly closed, this isolated nation is holding what some see as a huge coming-out party to be attended by thousands of guests from all over the world. It's Gay Pride Month, and I guess that kind of inspired them to come out and be proud of who they are. Officials say... Officials say 25,000 to 40,000 delegates from 170 nations are expected to attend the World Festival of Youth and Students. Some 900 journalists, including about 20 from the United States, will also attend the festival, which begins on Saturday and lasts 8 days.
How many journalists?
900, including 20 from the United States.
Huh.
It's amazing. And, you know, North Korea is a place that you just could not get into for a long time. Now, Nicholas Kristof, whose article I'm reading right now, is the Times correspondent. He was in China writing stories about the massacre and the protests, and now he's in North Korea, which is fascinating.
This guy leads a pretty wild life.
He must. The festival is a chance for North Korea to present itself to the world and to make up for its disappointment in not being allowed to join South Korea as host of the Summer Olympics held last year in Seoul. Some North Koreans say if all goes well, this may be a turning point, the beginning of a more open policy toward the rest of the world. They see it as the equivalent of the 1964 Tokyo Olympics, which helped to put Japan on the international stage, or of the Seoul Olympics, which gave international respectability to South Korea. No effort is being spared to make the festival a success. And factory workers have for a year been struggling with special classes on the basics of English, and everything paintable is gleaming under a fresh coat. Farm trucks are washed before they are allowed on the main roads. Koreans on the streets scrutinize oncoming cars and wave whenever they see a foreigner go by. So
that's wild.
It's amazing. Now, North Korea has always been looked upon by us as a very hostile nation, and now maybe that's changing. Park Chung-hyun, a 20-year-old subway attendant at the Glory subway station. Isn't that cool? They have a subway station in North Korea known as Glory, and this guy is a 20-year-old subway attendant there.
G-L-O-R-Y?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, it probably isn't, you know, they probably have a character for it over there, but that's how they spell it in the paper. Anyway, he says, I'm very pleased that this festival is being held in Pyongyang, which is the capital of North Korea. I'm sorry, it's a she. I'm sorry. Park can be used both ways, you know. Miss Park, like everyone else interviewed, radiated delight and seemed like the city itself to be wearing her Sunday best. More visitors will come to our country and see what has been achieved under the wise leadership of our great leader, Comrade Kim Il-sung, and our dear leader, Comrade Kim Jong-il. Now, North Korea, Chris, is the only communist monarchy.
Communist monarchy?
Isn't that amazing? Because Kim Il-sung, his son is Kim Jong-il, and he's his successor.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know of any other communist nation like that. In fact, a couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember this, all of a sudden Korean radio started playing somber music and broadcasting reports that Kim Il-sung had died and things like that. Actually, not the radio, the loudspeakers by the Korean border.
Okay.
In South Korea. And the whole Western world went nuts thinking that there was some kind of power struggle going on or something, and then it was all announced as a hoax or something like that. And nobody really understands why.
Why would they want a hoax?
I don't know. It was never really explained. But it goes to show the kind of weird things that go on in that country.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Are you going to talk about what the main purpose of me being here was?
Well, yeah, eventually.
Oh, okay.
But let me plow through this article real quick. People will see how quickly our country has developed, and after they leave, they will tell their friends about Korea. Ordinary people like Miss Park seem happy to talk to foreigners, and most people on the street seem very friendly to Americans, even though this is officially Anti-United States Month. Did you know that?
It's officially?
Yes, Anti-United States Month. I don't know if that means June or July. I would assume it's July.
Government declared it?
Yeah. Anti-United States Month. Officially. Now, conversations often sound exceedingly stilted, and it is rare for a minute to pass without a Korean offering praise to the 77-year-old great leader, or president, and the 47-year-old dear leader, the president's son and heir. The worship of the great leader and dear leader is the most striking thing about Pyongyang for most of the delegates. Landmarks from the airport to the central square are named for the president, and photographs and statues of him are almost everywhere. President Kim, who constantly tries to cultivate South Koreans by stressing the need for reunification of South and North, scored a minor propaganda victory today with the arrival of a South Korean student who will represent the South in the festival. The South Korean government has banned its citizens from attending the festival, and this citizen may very well face prosecution when she gets back to South Korea, because it's not legal to do that. This is the 13th in a series of World Festivals of Youth and Students. The first was held in Prague in 1947 and the last in Moscow in 1985. North Koreans proudly point out that this is the first held in Asia. They are held in communist nations but attract delegates from Western as well as Eastern Bloc countries. The program ranges from sports competitions to gatherings on leftist topics, ranging from an anti-imperialist tribunal to a solidarity rally with the people, youth, and students of Nicaragua. The theme of the festival, proclaimed on posters and banners throughout the nation, is for anti-imperialist solidarity, peace, and friendship.
Huh. I thought it might be euthanasia.
No. Let's see. A student leader from City College of New York, Mark Torres, is there. He's one of the 100 delegates from the United States. I'm taking a look at student struggles throughout the world. I want to make contact with people fighting for social and economic justice all around the world. He said his visit was financed partly by a scholarship from the festival committee and partly from contributions from New York labor unions. Another American with him, Karsten Jacobs, said he received some financial assistance from the city government of his hometown, Pontiac, Michigan. And both of them said they were impressed by North Korea so far. And as one of the world's most rigidly orthodox communist countries, North Korea has stressed self-reliance and is unaccustomed to foreigners, especially Westerners. Foreign guests in the city's few hotels normally must book their meals ahead of time, even in hotel restaurants. The nation has worked frantically to prepare for the deluge of guests in every way conceivable. New hotels have been built and old ones refurbished. School children have taken a month off from school to prepare for cultural shows and rallies. More than 1,000 Mercedes-Benzes have been imported to take guests around. And it's not clear what has been done to shield foreigners from signs of discontent with the regime. There is no open opposition to the government, but a long report by the American organization Asia Watch has accused North Korea of wide-scale repression, including a policy of categorizing the population and keeping potential critics from the capital and other places that a tourist might visit.
Where are they getting all this money? I mean, 1,000 Mercedes-Benz is...
I don't know.
A bag of shells.
That's no bag of shells for any country. Did I say 1,000?
Yeah.
I did say 1,000, didn't I? That's pretty amazing. Okay, that's what's happening in North Korea. Now let's move the dial a little closer to home. In fact, as close to home as we can possibly get. This was in today's Newsday.
It's not as close to home as we can get.
Well, no, it has to do with the Stony Brook campus. Do you remember that student that was accused of rape this spring? Well, now he's serving the school here at the State University of Stony Brook and the Suffolk County Police with a notice of claim seeking $100 million in damages for false arrest and denial of his constitutional rights. A six-page notice, which is required by law before a suit is filed against a governmental body, outlines a broad range of charges in seeking multi-million-dollar damages. Troop was arrested on March 31st and charged with raping a 20-year-old woman outside her dormitory on March 24th. Early in May, the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office dropped the first-degree rape charge, citing a lack of physical evidence, a strong alibi, and the victim's decision not to testify. Troop maintained his innocence, insisting that police did not try to verify his alibi the night he was arrested. Troop later provided witnesses who said they were with him at the time. But police insisted Troop did not provide an alibi when arrested, refused to cooperate, and was identified by the victim, who picked him from a yearbook photo in two lineups. Even after charges were dropped, law enforcement officials said that on the night of March 31st, there was no choice but to arrest Troop. The victim, they said, was adamant. And, of course, the Troop case, well, I don't know if this is really true, this is what the newspapers say, polarized the campus and heightened racial tensions. It did to a degree, but I don't think nearly as much as the newspaper said. Several demonstrations were held in support of Troop, who was a 23-year-old engineering major and starting basketball player. And Troop's attorney, C. Vernon Mason, took the case to the media, appearing with Troop and his family on television and in many publications. Now, get this. Troop, who graduated last month, is working at the morgue in the New York Times. Uh-huh. What a place to work.
So, did he graduate?
Yeah, he did. I just said that. He graduated last month. He's now working at the morgue in the New York Times.
So, he was in my
graduating? Apparently, it's a high-risk place to work, and a lot of people die there, I guess.
He was in my graduating class.
Yeah, he was.
I didn't see him there.
Well, you know, there's a couple of thousand people in our graduating classes here at Stony Brook, so it's possible not to know everybody.
Yeah.
Anyway, he couldn't be reached yesterday, and C. Vernon Mason said Troop is thinking of going to law school. Although Quincy Troop, the father, says he is bitter with the system he believes victimized his son because he is black, he said he was so shocked by the courage of the district attorney's people for dropping the charges and not going to a grand jury. And he was so moved by that his book on musician Miles Davis, which is due out in September, will be dedicated to members of the office. He says, "I will never, ever forget those people." And State University at Stony Brook may be in for a lot of trouble with that. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, how would they be held accountable? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, they threw him out of school, remember. Before he was declared innocent or guilty or anything, they said, you know, you're out of here, kid.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. And because of all the protest and outrage at that, they reinstated him, but they would not allow him to live on campus. Now, you know, to a degree, if somebody is found innocent, that's kind of...
Well, they wouldn't let me live on campus either.
Well, yeah, but there's obvious reasons for that. Sorry, but I had to be honest. You know,
but I did anyway.
If there is... Oh, now you can say it, I guess.
I can. I got the diploma.
What about the parking tickets?
And I don't have a car.
Oh. That usually doesn't stop people. But anyway, they may have acted improperly by acting against him before anything was proven.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? We'll see how it goes. We'll keep you abreast of the situation. And then we have President Bush, President George Bush.
Who is that man?
Who is that man? That's a good question. Now, Newsday did a really good thing today. They were reporting on Bush's appearance before a group of about 200 civil rights leaders. And, you know, he said the usual garbage. Oh, you know, we're here not only to commemorate an anniversary, but to celebrate a movement and to rededicate our efforts to the unfinished work of that movement. You know, all about the civil rights movement. However, what Newsday did was they uncovered what he said back when the civil rights movement was at its beginnings, in 1964. President George Bush, as a candidate for the U.S. Senate in 1964, denounced the proposed Civil Rights Act as dangerous and detrimental to the concept of states' rights. And, let's see what he actually said. I have repeatedly stated my opposition to the Civil Rights Bill, Bush told the Dallas Morning News in 1964, as I feel it is dangerous legislation which violates the constitutional rights of all the people. He said it was a course of action which will be most detrimental to the concept of states' rights. Now, that's kind of scary to think of a president in office who at any time believed that, and probably still does to a degree.
Probably still does to the fullest.
Yeah. Now, of course, White House Press Secretary Marlon Fitzwater said that Bush's position and beliefs have changed considerably since then, and he now believes in that law and the benefits it's had on American society. A lot of people made mistakes 25 years ago. I know a lot of people that made a mistake only last November. Now, the final thing I want to discuss here. Finished?
Yeah.
Okay, the final thing I want to discuss here is... it's something we talked about a little bit last week. Last week at this time, I didn't feel at all the urge to burn a flag. Today, thanks to George Bush, I feel it's something that I should do to sort of prove that I can, you know? I mean, the Supreme Court, about a week or so ago, said that it's a horrible thing to do, we do have the right under freedom of speech to burn a flag. Now, President Bush said, okay, well, we'll just override the Supreme Court and tack an amendment onto the Constitution saying that you can't burn flags. But basically what the Supreme Court said was it's unconstitutional, and Bush said, fine, we'll just change the Constitution.
That's pretty sick.
You know what the Beatles said about that.
What'd they say about that, Eric?
Let's see. You'll say you'll change the Constitution. Well, you know... We all want to change your head. Yeah, that's how it goes.
Hmm.
I could go along with that. Revolution.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so I was thinking over the last few days of various ways to get around that, you know, to be able to burn a flag anyway.
And you were mentioning burning a state flag?
Yeah, that was one of the things I came up with. Now, if New York State... One of the rules for amendment.
It's the blue one with the bears on it.
I have no idea what it looks like. But one of the rules for an amendment is that states have to pass the law, something like that. The legislatures have to enact it. So if New York State is one of those, I feel reasonably sure that we could burn New York State's flag, and we won't get a lot of people throwing stones at us for being unpatriotic because they won't know what the hell we're doing. you know. So that's something. And if you can burn a state flag, that's a way of protesting too, and a less dangerous way perhaps for you.
Then suppose they enact this thing of making it illegal to burn a flag. What happens if you burn the flag of another country?
I don't know. Apparently that's okay because, you know...
That's okay.
I talked about the guy who burned the Iranian flag here in Setauket a bunch of years ago, and nobody really tried to stop him. You know, it's not a nice thing to do, obviously. But another thing, does this mean that you can't wear a shirt with a flag on it or something like that? Because a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But isn't that desecrating it, you know, getting sweat all over it? I think that's...
Could be.
That's desecrating.
Or like, say you lie down.
Right.
Play a game of football wearing that shirt and you're like... Get a big grass stain.
Well, you throw it into the laundry. You know, that seems kind of nasty thing to do to something you love. Now, are paper flags considered flags, too?
So then we should take all those people who work for the incinerator plants and whatnot and throw them in jail for burning flags.
There you go. There you go, yes.
So,
There's a lot that could happen here. Now, another idea I came up with was you make it a law that every flag that comes off the assembly line has to be treated with fire-retardant chemicals, right? That way, even if you want to burn the flag, you can't, because it's impossible. The flag won't go on fire. And if a flag does go on fire, the policeman comes up to you and says, excuse me, sir, where did you buy that flag? You tell the police officer where you bought the flag, and the guy who sold it to you gets in trouble for selling you a flag that could be burned.
Did you see that political cartoon of Lord in Newsday?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it had finally conservative household, and they all had flags on the front lawn, and the one in the middle had a little sign on it that said 100% asbestos.
That's another way. That's another way to keep people from doing it. And finally, and this I think is the answer. This I think is the real answer. We make it sort of taking an example from the Chinese government. That is, you take something bad and make it something good. In other words, burning the flag is the ultimate show of patriotism.
Uh-huh.
By burning the flag, you're saying, I love this flag and I'm going to burn it and make it, you know, shine in the sky like the sun, you know?
Yep.
And if somebody asks you, well, what the hell are you doing to our American flag? You say, this is my way of showing how much I love it. And you go into a patriotic binge. And
what about things like the Declaration of Independence? Like, say you buy one of those and you burn it up.
There's no telling where this will stop.
Where will it all end?
Now, it's as if Bush is still on a campaign swing, because this is the kind of crazy things that people come up with when they're trying to prove that they're not communist,
yep.
You know? But for God's sake, Bush is president. He doesn't have to prove anything anymore. He can just lead us through safely. I think that's all we have to ask for.
He wants another term. You know.
Well, he's not going to get it this way, that's for sure. I mean, I didn't want to burn a flag last week. Now I want to burn a flag because of this idiot.
What's this whole thing with the moral majority calling it quits because they've had a job well done?
That's scary, isn't it? Well, actually, the moral majority ceased existing a bunch of years ago. They turned into the Liberty Foundation.
Is that still going on?
No, I don't think so. I think the whole thing just ground to a halt because, you know, everything they wanted to get done, they got done somehow, which, you know, I guess in a sense they did.
Or they feel, but wasn't abortion like one of their strongest issues?
Yeah, it was one of them.
Why is Jim putting on his jacket?
Why are you putting on your jacket?
It's cool in here.
Oh. Okay. Did you think about food or anything?
I noticed
Pardon?
That.
Did you think about food or anything?
Well, I had delicious meal here just now, so, but if you still want to order something up, I'd be happy to.
What do you have?
Excuse me, I had a nice, we've got actually tuna salad, on whole wheat, lettuce, and tomato. Coleslaw,
yeah.
A little order of coleslaw, and a little order of fruit salad, and a couple of cans of juice.
Is Slime Bag still open? Pizza place.
No.
Well,
none of that.
I wouldn't want to characterize. I haven't been by there. I wouldn't want to characterize. I mean, you would have the right to your own opinion, but
yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't want
one of those. Delivery,
Jim can't hear you because the headphones have been stolen again.
Oh yes, I personally like the concession.
I could insult
in
Jim like you would not.
I do.
You could
Chris is insulting.
Oh, that's cool. That's all right.
He doesn't know what you're saying because he can't hear you and he's got his back to him.
That's okay. I expect to be insulted. As a matter of fact, I'd be shocked if I wasn't being insulted.
I pressed this
insulted
button
behind his back. What are you doing with the phone?
Now you're coming through the speaker.
Oh, I see.
So is the phone. And so am I.
Jim, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Uh-huh.
See, it's kind of a what did you hit? There's an unmute button here. It just appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, I noticed that. But my voice sounds all weird.
I could turn the phone down like that, I guess.
Yeah, no.
Can't turn that
actually,
damn phone.
Actually, if you turn the monitors, the monitor volume's down a little bit.
That
defeats
the purpose of turning the monitors on.
No, but I mean, you have to turn them all the way down, just down a little bit so it takes the feedback off.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that?
But the phone is still there.
Can you still hear me, Jim?
Still hear you just fine.
And I can still hear the phone. Error, what are you
saying? Oh, I would just throw out all the headphones and listen to speakers instead of that.
Well, because it looks more official and impressive when you're wearing headsets. When people come up to visit the place, you know, I mean, I don't want to give the wrong impression. We don't have regular tours up here, but occasionally if somebody, they'll be impressed by people wearing headsets. Kind of like Arthur Godfrey, you know?
Yeah.
Arthur Godfrey, when he did his radio show and his TV show at the same time, I mean, he used to simulcast his radio and TV show, so he'd be wearing headphones while doing his TV show, because it was a complicated system of intercueing between the radio network and the television network. So you turn on the TV and you see a guy sitting there with these large headphones on his head.
Eric?
Hi, Chris.
Can you kill them under the phone ringing? It's really driving me nuts.
It's driving me nuts, too.
Now you can go back to insulting me behind my back.
Well.
Which is okay.
Anyway, that's what I had to say about flag burning.
Jim's
I wanted to get it off my chest.
Jim is used to it by now.
So do you want me to get some food?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Why not?
Downstairs?
Are they still open?
They may be.
No, that's not food. I don't want any of that.
No, well, I don't want to get
garbage is what it is.
Controversy,
Why don't you order out for a
pizza? I don't like controversy,
Well, Slime Bags is closed. You just told us that.
No,
I didn't say that.
I'm talking about...
They may be open. The store that you characterize...
One of the deliveries.
In that way, may still be open. I'm not saying I characterize it that way.
Put his volume up so much louder than mine.
Oh, he's also so much closer.
Well, turn his volume down.
Yeah, now you're louder, okay?
Okay. No, I don't want to be louder. I want him to be softer.
Sorry, Chris. How's this? That's better. Much better.
I don't want to be overbearing.
Okay.
Stardate July.
Oh, where did he come from?
From the Southern Hemisphere.
No. He's already been on. Okay, we'll talk about this in a minute. Chris, you're here.
I'm here.
Now, you're here for a reason. We're going to talk about music tonight. Music with rhythm and all kinds of music. It may have been, say, what, 20 years ago? Or was it
20 years ago today?
My God, it's 30 years ago.
Close,
1989 this is, right?
It certainly is.
So it's like about 30 years ago that that parents started freaking out when they would hear sounds like that.
Yeah.
while that one had folks all concerned in the late 50s, this one had folks concerned in the late 80s. Oh. Where is Eric?
Yeah. What? No, I found him. Yeah, he just reappeared. Hello,
Eric? I'm here, yes.
Now, what do you see in common with that song that had good beat, well, strong vocals, and this? Pneumatic drivers and just noise. What do you see in common?
Well, what I see in common is your judgmental attitude about it. That's what I see in common. The way people in the late 50s were saying, this isn't music. Perry Como, now that's music, you know? Or Beethoven, that's music.
Wasn't that last record by Perry Como?
No, it was the Beatles, actually.
I mean, the one that you just played.
No, that was Controlled Bleeding, I believe.
Controlled Bleeding, that's Gary Pecorino's band, isn't it?
From a long time ago, yes, indeed it was.
Now, I think it's amazing we see people with the same kind of attitudes, except today, the people with those attitudes are the same people that were the revolutionary types in the late 50s, the ones that the parents were saying, oh, they're listening to this noise. And now they don't see that they're doing the same thing.
No.
Now, Chris, you know a lot about music. You're a music director here at the radio station.
Well, I don't know if I know a lot about
music. You know a lot about music. Now,
I listen to it a lot.
You see the new stuff coming in week after week.
Yeah.
And
not too much of it is like this.
No, I think maybe you pick something that's kind of really timeless. Maybe, but you see the thrash, you see the hardcore, you see the rap,
yeah.
And you also see the attitude of people that are kind of maybe a generation ahead. You know,
I don't know if anyone will ever listen to this as in such a large community as a phenomenon like the Beatles, though.
No, but think of how much more there is today than there was back then. I mean, do you think there's anything near the number of records coming out then that there are today?
No, definitely not.
Even if the Beatles did somehow come back, you know, the Beatles-type band came back, there's no way everybody would follow them the same way. You know, it's kind of like Nazism. I mean, I don't mean to say the Beatles are Nazis, but the way everybody
they monopolized.
The Nazis monopolized everything, and everybody followed them, and everybody was into it. Today, in our society, the way everybody is into many, many different things, yet getting along to a degree in harmony, it takes away the danger of things like Nazis. It also takes away, the joy of things like the Beatles. But at the same time, we move ahead artistically, and we move ahead, you know, individually.
Hmm.
I mean, there's all kinds of different music today. There's all kinds, and you can't follow just one.
No. You definitely, you just can't.
Right. So, I mean, do you think that the music coming out today is better or worse than the music that came out 20 years ago?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Nobody does. But a lot of people say that...
the music coming out 20 years ago was better?
Yeah. Yeah, like that was real music. The music that the kids listen to today is not real music.
Hmm.
It's the same thing that they were saying in the late 50s. The same exact thing.
That they... Notice that ambiguous they,
well,
the parents.
The people that said it in the 50s are still saying it. They never stopped saying it.
Let's manage it.
They might have
been
more over.
You want me to put you up? You're taking the channel 1 or channel 2. Pick a channel. Any channel.
You can't have channel 1. Your channel 1.
No, mixer 1.
Oh.
Yeah, I...
There's a loud buzz coming out over the air now.
I can hear the room buzzing in the other room. Okay.
So maybe we can open this up to our listening public.
What do you want? What do you want to open up to the public?
Well, just opinions on music and things like that. Well, I mean, you must have opinions.
On music of today.
Music of today and music of yesterday and how it relates and whether there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here or what.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. Actually, you want to know why I thought you were bringing me down here? I thought you actually didn't want my expertise opinion on this.
What's that?
You're flipping the tape? All right. Jim, I can hear you zipping up your jacket.
Well, you know, some would say that in itself is music.
By the way, if you want to get a jump on the getting in your opinion, 632-6901 here at 90.1 FM WUSB. If you want to sort of get before the rest of the people jump on the bandwagon and decide they have something to say, because I know usually I'm sitting at home and by the time I think of something to say and I call up, it's too late. All the phone lines are tied up. Even though they have so many phone lines here at WUSB. Eric, are you back? No, Eric is still taping records.
Well,
should we take an opinion of this person who has been on the phone? Let's see, we've been on for 50 minutes. This person has been patiently waiting, calling our lineup. I say we give this person a shot. So, good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I'm calling about the current music.
Okay.
Did I get Eric right when he called John Lennon a Nazi?
No. He didn't call John Lennon a Nazi.
What was Elvis then, if John Lennon was a Nazi?
No, he was comparing it that the Beatles and John Lennon had a monopoly on the music scene because there weren't as many bands, in Eric's opinion.
You know, they're always talking about Elvis Presley not being dead and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of silly and all, but if you rearrange the letters in Elvis, it says lives.
How about that? I never even noticed that.
I'm afraid I'm convinced.
You're convinced he's still alive?
Yep.
What is your opinion? Was the music of 20 or 30 years ago better than the music being put out today?
It was, I think it had a little more to do with talent than it had to do with marketing and good looks.
So you think the music was marketed better and the musicians were better looking?
No, now that's what it takes.
Oh, now that's what it takes.
I don't know if that's true.
You know, otherwise Sammy Davis Jr. wouldn't be famous. He got no looks.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying that people today, in order to get by, have to have looks? I don't think that's true. Look at the Dead Kennedys. And they're doing pretty good. Look at Public Enemy. They don't look all that great.
I'm talking top 40. I'm talking stuff that's you're gonna hear every day, constantly.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I don't listen to Top 40, and I think less people listen to Top 40 every day.
But the Top 40 was where everything sprang from.
Mm-hmm.
Top 40 in the 60s, everything, you could listen to this stuff.
Right, everybody knew the same songs. Everybody knew the same songs, but today you got people listening to Anthrax, you got people listening to Public
Enemy.
Did
they really all know the same songs? I think it's a delusion. I mean,
maybe
I was only 3 years old 20 years ago, but I seriously doubt that the entire youth of a school, I think... I think that everybody in Stony Brook knows what Michael Jackson sounds like, whether they like it or not. They know what Michael Jackson sounds like, and several other artists, even though they may not associate it with a name. But I think it's the same thing with Beatles. Everyone knew what they sound like, but not everybody was totally into them like the media would have us believe in order to get us to buy their compilation album.
But that's a fact. I wasn't.
What were you into instead?
At the time, I was listening to the Amboy Dukes. I was listening to Beach Boys a little bit. Bobby Fuller Four, a lot of stuff. The Beatles, for some reason, when they came in, they just got on my nerves. Everybody screaming all the time.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere, everything was Beatle this, Beatle that.
Okay, but the bands that you mentioned are still fairly well-known bands.
Yeah, but
these days
they're not around no more.
Right, but these days there are so many
rock and rollers.
It's possible for teenage kids to not have any idea what somebody else is listening to because there are just so many variations.
Well, it always was.
Well, back then there weren't as many. I don't think
there were. Not as many as now, no.
And I think, you know, more people could be into one thing at the same time. And these days, the only thing that more people could be into is Top 40, which I think is very bland.
I don't think the intensity was there either. Maybe you had fan clubs, but you didn't have people cutting themselves in bars because of some cult-crazed rock group or killing themselves. And
you didn't have that? What about the Mods and the Rockers in England?
No, I'm talking about here.
Well, you
live in England.
You never have anything here, really. I mean, do you have that today?
Sure, I went into some of this new wave stuff.
Uh-huh.
These kids, they're pulling their hair out in a bar. They were doing that slam banging or slam dancing.
Nobody ever gets hurt slam dancing. At least
they look like they were.
They look like they are. Nobody ever really gets hurt.
They're putting needles in their ears.
Yeah, well, it's no big deal. People have been doing that for centuries.
Or being a Raiders, putting a needle in your nose.
Well, yeah, it's different. You know, every generation of kids is determined to be different from the previous generation. And who knows, the next generation might, you know, suddenly get into classical music or something because
they keep saying that, but they always say, the next generation may be into classical music. But I think it's going to be progressively, it's just a, hey.
What?
I don't appreciate the commentary. Neither does the crowd.
Okay, all right.
You know, I would like to say that
I hear Jim's voice.
Well,
Jim, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're all the way, I'm half a mile away in a different studio.
Isn't this wonderful?
That's amazing. I can't see you or hear you. I mean, I can't hear you, but I have no idea where you are.
Well, you know...
But before you speak, let me give you out the phone number again. 632-6901. Let's get some calls on this subject. This is controversial. Does rock and roll mean nothing anymore?
I don't know if it's controversial.
It is. I think people are being hypocritical today.
I think there's a controversy of whether or not this is controversial.
No, yeah. I think a lot of people...
That's where the real controversy lies.
That should know
Jim
better.
Hit it
falling
on the
back
head.
Into the same rhetoric of the 50s, you know?
Well, you know, I was going to say that around 1750 in Europe, people said, you know, maybe the next generation of teenagers will be into classical music, and they were right. So that, you know, does prove
classical
the assertion
music
of the possibility.
Jim,
of that possibility.
Face it, you do a classical show and you just want classical music to be hip again so that you can look like a real hipster playing that boring music every Saturday night.
Well, now, classical music, when it came out, I mean, it obviously didn't just come out.
Jim just wants to be as hip as me on Tuesday afternoons. That's all there is to it.
But maybe
he wants the women.
If Jim could stop pounding his fist on the ground like that, perhaps you could answer this question. Now, was classical music in its heyday, when it was actually new, how was it looked upon by the rest of society? Was it looked upon as something rebellious? Mozart was really young. Beethoven was young.
Weren't there people writing Verdi rules on the walls and stuff?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you talk about the what was going on in the punk clubs in this decade.
No, seriously, Jim.
In the 1780s, people weren't sticking needles in their ears. What they were doing was...
Putting wigs on.
Yes, they were putting exactly. They were wigs to be worn.
Tight pants.
And
tight
everybody
pants.
Do that back then.
And
tight
people
pants.
People tucked handkerchiefs into their into their sleeves.
Tight
and,
pants.
And yes, and
that was very suggestive there.
Yes, and they wouldn't stick things in their skin, but they would try to put rubber bands. Around their earlobes.
Around
I don't know
earlobes.
If they had invented rubber bands yet, but had they invented them, I'm sure that's what they would have been doing. You asked a serious question. I'm not a scholar when it comes to music, but I would surmise that, I would just guess that there were certain segments of the population
that were very happy with as music had changed.
But they wouldn't consider something like this as music, right?
Well,
I wish you would stop playing that kind of thing. I wish you'd play something with a beat so that we could.
Why do you keep playing Perry Como every time I turn to you?
How about something like Jesus and Mary Chain?
There you go.
Now, what about that? It's got a beat, but, I mean, listen to those guitars and stuff. It's a noise.
I hear them. What do you mean by noise? Everything is noise.
Yeah.
Well, as I was going to say, was when classical music became popular, after it, some music history books divide in terms of main eras, that the era of music before classical music in Europe was considered Baroque, the Baroque era.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would not be surprised if there were many people, as the music changed, and I didn't just suddenly wake up one morning and say, we're not going to be Baroque anymore, we're going to be classical. But during this evolutionary period, as the newer music of the time, the classical form, began to overshadow the Baroque form, that there were many people who were very happy about this. But I'm sure there were other people that, in a way, felt that this was just a passing fad or not as valid as Baroque music, who may very well have said to themselves, and I don't even really mean to be funny here, but may have meant to say to themselves, why are these new people coming along playing this music? Give me a good old Brandenburg Concerto by Bach. Who is this Haydn? Who does he think he is? I'm not gonna listen to this. I think that in any period of time, when there is change, there is some resistance to it. And my personal feeling about music is that any kind of music is fantastic. I personally won't necessarily like every piece of music or every kind of music that I hear, and I wouldn't expect anybody else to. Each person has a different outlook on music from the standpoint of their own personal enjoyment. I think that whatever moves an individual to either listen to a certain piece of music or moves an individual to compose or arrange or perform a piece of music, whether we're talking about instrumental or vocal, I think that in and of itself it's perfectly valid. And I think that one of the great things about music is that there is such a wealth of form and style is available. I just think it's just one of the most fantastic things. Personally, I think it's one of the most fantastic things in life that's available for people to experience. And I think it's perfectly valid for somebody to like or dislike certain kinds of music. But where I think there's a problem is when people actually try to prevent certain music, types of music, from being listened to or composed or performed.
Well, what do you think commercial radio does? Do you hear anything, you know, new and different that doesn't sound just like the stuff that happened over the last 10 years? Do you hear that on commercial radio?
I think sometimes you do, but I think that in terms of commercial radio, I think that there's nothing wrong with there being a predominant kind of music on the radio. But where I do see a drawback in commercial radio is that, okay, let me put it this way. What I think is great is that there are non-commercial stations that are able, from an economic standpoint, are able to experiment more and present music that is considered off the beaten track from what's heard usually on commercial stations. I don't think commercial stations are doing anything wrong by deciding to play music that is considered to be within a certain marketing mainstream.
Well, maybe not.
It's a financial reality. But no, I was just going to say that what I would like to see more of in commercial radio is the attempt or the willingness on the part of some of the people who own some of the stations to be willing to experiment a little bit, and I know that that means a certain amount of financial risk, but if they'd be willing to do that, I think that if there was more willingness to experiment a little bit more, I think that it would make commercial radio that much richer in terms of the variety.
Well, they weren't willing to do it in the 50s.
When I listen to commercial radio, I hear a lot of experimentation, actually.
Do you really? What kind?
Well, for instance, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago, you'd never see a hard rock or a heavy metal band, even though they're really not hard rock or heavy metal. It's just an image, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You'd never see that on a top 40 chart, but then you see these bands like Guns N' Roses and whatnot. What do the listeners think?
Well, do they get there despite everything, or, you know, does the atmosphere foster their success? I don't think it does.
I think we need more listeners' opinion. 632-6901, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. 632-6901, let's get your opinion on the air.
Chris, I've got a question for you.
Go ahead.
What band today is really hot? You know, like, what band is at the top of, not at the top of everything, but, you know, is an exciting band, a lot of people are into it? Just, you know, I know there's lots, but off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head, I really couldn't think of one.
Well, think of several, then.
Several? What do you mean?
Several
bands.
Well,
I think Guns N' Roses definitely has a big thing going.
What do we play a lot of here?
They could fart in the microphone and make lots of money off of it.
That's true.
You know?
But the Beatles did.
They did fart on the microphone?
Sure, all the time. You didn't know that?
No.
Well, it's typical. People don't know much about the Beatles.
I know the Butthole Surfers did.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you mentioned a few bands, Butthole Surfers and
well, they're not, I don't think they're really hot as far as, like, getting lots of people to listen to them.
Uh-huh, but they're popular.
Yeah, in their own little world. See, overall, I can't think of, I don't know. Wait, let's take this caller,
Okay.
All right, Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hello, what bands are really hot today? What's your opinion?
Well, this is Sammy, and I live in Roosevelt.
Hey, Sammy.
And, over here they listen to Run DMC.
Yeah.
But, you know, over here is Black Area. So they listen to, you know, like Mr. J and Dr. This and all that, Rapping Star.
Uh-huh.
And we listen to that. Now, sometimes it's too loud.
Too loud?
That rap stuff, that's crazy stuff. Like the Do the Wild thing.
Uh-huh.
But
then you get these mellow dudes like De La Soul.
No, it's crazy stuff. It's a hell of a lot different than Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, I'll say that. But they use Aretha Franklin in their music.
Yeah, they must mention her because I can't understand the word. You know, they rap. I don't like the rap that much. I still listen. I listen to the Lou Rawls.
Lou Rawls, yeah.
I got all the Lou Rawls albums.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them. But I don't really care for the rap and stuff. Even though I am as black as you get. But I don't like rapping.
Huh. At all?
No, well, a little bit, but not much.
See, I love rap.
Why?
Because it's just, it moves me, you know? When I listen to it, it gets me to, like, do something. Whereas when I listen to...
It gets me to do something. I turn off the radio.
Yeah, it gets you to do something too, then.
Nephew, you listen to that. Get that off the radio.
Well, you don't hear rap music on the radio except late at night or on college radio once in a while, and even that's disappearing now.
No. I don't like the Beach Boys neither. Never went to the beach.
Never went to the beach.
No, I don't like the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
If you go to the beach, you can listen to them, not me. No, don't go to the beach.
You go to the beach, can't listen to anything.
It's because of the rap.
Not allowed to music
down there.
Not allowed to bring your radios on the beach, though.
Well, irregardless of that, let me ask Sammy a question here.
Yeah.
Do you think that the music today is better or worse than the music of, say, the 60s?
No, I think the same amount stinks that stunk in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
You know, like 50% of it, baloney. And the other is probably good stuff. And the good stuff will last for a while. Everybody's going to buy the baloney, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It won't stand up to time.
Yeah, I think definitely. But I think the proportion is a lot greater of the garbage that comes out. Because I see, like, a lot of the stuff that comes out, and I'd say about 90% of it's garbage. 95 even.
Probably. What whatever happened to Mungo Jerry? You know who Mungo Jerry was?
No, I don't know who Mungo Jerry. What about you, Eric?
Who?
No, I do not.
No. So he had a hit in 1970.
Okay.
In the summertime. Where is he now? He's gone. He's slipping burgers, man.
You know what I saw on TV last night at about 3 in the morning? Some guy from I think, what, the Coasters or something? he's singing this rock and roll piece, and then he says, you know, in the 50s, I brought you great lines like this, but now I'm bringing you great values at this used car place in Queens.
Oh, man.
It's amazing. I couldn't believe it.
He sold out. He just sold himself out.
Ozone Park or something.
He couldn't get a job in the music industry, I guess.
That's just incredible. You go to buy a car, and then there's this guy from I forget what maybe the Platters or something. I don't know what the name of the band was, but it was really funny.
Hmm. That's too bad. Well, I see a lot of the people from bands of the past are now working in the industry.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I'll be talking to former bass player Blondie. He's an A&R man. You know,
oh, wow.
Trying to find new artists for record labels.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I hear you.
You know the man that called about Elvis Presley?
Yeah.
Is Elvis Presley dead or alive? What do you think?
Well, he's definitely dead in spirit. Whether he's alive, in fact, that's something none of us can really answer, I don't think.
Man, I hope I don't see him in an alley.
No, I don't think that's where you'd see him.
Okay, I'm going to go. Someone wants to use the phone.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
Our number is 632-6901. You know, Chris and Jim, I'd like to hear from a young person today.
Let's hear it. What about Andrew? Does he call anymore?
Wait a minute. Let me finish my sentence.
I stopped listening to your show, so I don't know if Andrew Goldberger still calls.
I'd like to hear from a young person that listens to music from the 60s. I'd like to get their opinion of what that music is like. Is it outdated now, or is it, you know, is music of that quality still coming out? I'd also like to hear from young people that don't listen to music from the 60s and what they think of that time. Is that the music of their parents? Is that in any way related to today's modern music? You know, that's really what I'd like to know. I'd like to know if there's a real, like, generation gap here between the 60s and the 80s, and it's, you know, soon going to be the 90s. So, you know, and maybe, Chris, you have a sense of that because you're closer, I think, to...
To what?
To today's present music. I'd like to know if there's, you know, a lot of judgmental things going on. But,
yeah.
Again, let's get some calls.
Well,
632-6901.
The funny thing is, now there are a lot of people in the music industry...
Yeah,
that are pushing stuff that they really don't like. It's just a job, you know.
Do they make it clear that they don't like it?
Many of them did. As I was the music director, they said, "Listen, I hate this stuff."
Wow!
But,
oh my gosh!
But listen to it; the kids will love it. Or these guys have done great things in the past. I hate it, but you might like it, so listen to it.
Wow!
Yeah.
That's really something,
and it happens a lot.
Well, what does that say to you?
It says people have their own opinion and they're not afraid to show it.
Uh-huh.
And also, I think there's a lot of bad business going on as far as, like, you know, who gets signed and whatnot with these major record labels, and people get signed for the wrong reasons.
Uh-huh. They do get signed for the wrong reasons.
And promoted, you know, the promotion is like the main thing now, which is really a sad thing. I've seen a lot of talent just wither away.
Well, there's the independent labels, too. And, you know,
which, like, I think are dying because they can't get good distribution of their records. And, they can't get anyone to hear it because nobody on the radio, including college radio, is playing this stuff anymore. Well, hardly any.
Uh-huh. Wow. I don't understand why we're not getting any calls. What's going on here? Maybe our phones are broken?
Let's see. Let's...
No, they're not. Well, we got a dial tone anyway.
We got a caller.
632-6901. Come on, prove that rock is not dead, please.
Yeah,
let's
get a few more callers.
Conclusion we can get.
I'm going to get a few more callers before I start taking calls here.
Okay. Yeah, get a few more because that way.
Yeah, that way you can just go one to the other. So 632-6901. If you're calling from Connecticut or New Jersey,
we just want to know what you
516 area code.
Think of music today. And
music today.
Has it gone anywhere? Is it going anywhere?
Is this talk show going anywhere?
Yeah, where are we going? Down the tubes.
Down the tubes.
516-632-6901. I got two calls on the line. We'll get one more call, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Yes, we will go back to the phones, I promise, and we will go in the right order.
Yeah, the order that the call was received. And
2-1, and then it will be 3.
Yeah. 632-6901. You listening saying, I don't make a difference in anyone's life. Well, you can make a difference in our life,
yes,
in the lives of the people who are waiting now on the phone, in the lives of the people listening from all different walks of life. All you have to do is call up and make that phone ring, and you'll make the show move along.
Yes.
No one's done it yet?
No one has done it. Yes.
Okay,
has.
That's better.
Finally, thank you.
That's better.
Okay, good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Hey, surprised I got through. My personal opinion is that music today is better because it's diversified. But, you know, somebody who grew up, like, in the 60s is going to say the 60s is better. And, like, I noticed, like, a lot of the 60s music is big today because, like, all the yuppies, you know, they grew up and, now they're yuppies, and they were hippies. So, like, VH1 plays all that old Beatles stuff and stuff. And, like, the kids see that, and they see all their parents, you know, all the people going crazy back then. And they say, oh, it's good music. You know, everybody else likes it.
Well, you know, where
that's
don't...
No, that's very interesting.
Where don't you hear the Beatles these days? You hear them on Muzak stations. You hear them on regular stations. You hear them even on classical stations sometimes, you know? The Beatles are everywhere because they're... establishment now. But, you know, is that fair to them to make them establishment?
Now, what was that?
Chris, he can hear you. I don't think he can hear me.
Can you hear Eric when he talks?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, if you turn up your radio just a tad, you may be able to hear him when he talks.
Well, I was basically saying that the Beatles have become establishment, and I was wondering if that was fair to the Beatles to make them establishment.
Well, I don't think they had a choice, really. Whether it's fair or not, you can't say. Probably not, though. But they probably love it because of the money, you know?
Yeah. I think after a while that kind of wears off. But, you know, in 20 years, 30 years, maybe the Clash, maybe the Dead Kennedys will be heard on all kinds of radio stations as filler or something like that. I kind of doubt it.
Well, did you see when we were... mentioned in Rolling Stones, they said we play classic cuts from the Clash.
Classic cuts from the Clash.
You know, we play classics from the Clash. That really looked weird to me.
That does look pretty weird, considering that's very strange. How did they get that bit of information?
Well, the funny thing is, they called me up about this, and they sort of said what I was going to say, and I said, that's not what you're going to say. And then they said it anyway.
Classics from the Clash, huh?
But at least they didn't quote me and get my name in Rolling Stone. That's what's important.
Yeah, that's what's important. Any other words, caller?
Yeah, like you were saying, you know, classical music might be popular, like, in the next decade or something. I doubt it because, like, all the kids, you know, think that's, like, old people's music. But, I don't know. It's like it got played. I think a lot more people would like it. And if it got played a lot, I think it would become big. Because I like it. You know, it's like you just got to listen to it. You know?
It's just like, it's almost like any other kind of music. Classical, jazz, you know, rock of all different kinds. The more you listen to it, I think if people listening today would just get a record that they wouldn't ordinarily listen to and that all their friends react strangely to when they play it, I just listen to it a lot, and then in about a couple of months or so, you'll find that you actually like it.
Yeah, that happened with the Dead Milkmen, you know, punk rock girl.
Uh-huh.
Like, a couple, like, months ago, nobody, you know, oh, the Dead Milkmen, who are they? And then, like, they got played, and, like, everybody, you know, like, in school, like, you'd see it all over everybody's notebook, you know, the Dead Milkmen, punk rock girl. And it's like...
Just because Donna said that she liked it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, you could play anything. If it gets on a big station or anything, you know, and people hear it, they're going to like it.
Yeah, yeah, radio still has a lot of power.
The promotion factor.
Yeah, it's like you were saying...
So maybe radio does have power.
Oh, definitely.
It does. If people listen, it has power.
So is it being abused or...
I would say
it's being controlled, not abused.
I don't think it's being utilized nearly enough.
I think it's being controlled to like the caller before was saying, you know, looks and stuff. Yeah, that's for the top 40. You have to have that, you know. And it's like I would consider music of the 60s better than the top 40 of today, because you know music today is like all synthesized. You know, well not all, but it's like I don't know. You don't even have to know what the hell you're doing anymore. You know? You just have to, like,
But if you do know what you're doing, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. But if like if you really play, you know, like an instrument and stuff, and you're gonna like, you're not gonna be big, you know. Well, you might be, but you're really not going to be, because you're gonna want to play what you want to play and not what they want you to play.
Yeah. Well, you know, you touched upon an interesting point. You said that's, you know, that's not, you don't have to really know what you're doing to make music. And that sort of leads into people saying, well, you know, the music of today is not like the music of yesterday because you just don't have the same kind of skill. And I remember people saying, well, the music of the 60s isn't like music from before that because that, you know, playing rock and roll is not the same as playing real music. You don't have to have skill. And, of course, people have proven us to be wrong on that.
Rock and roll takes a great deal of skill.
It does.
But then there's some that just comes naturally, I have to admit. Uh-huh. Everyone has a sound, I believe, from within that comes naturally. And some of it makes sense, some of it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, take rap music, for instance. Rap music makes use of a lot of computerized things, you know, sampling and scratching and stuff like that. And they make the actual music out of other people's music and the sampling sounds. Now, I've had people that are into a lot of other music in the 1980s say, that's not real music.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think? Is that real music?
Well, if somebody thinks it is, then I think it is.
Yeah, because that's exactly what was said when rock started, when new wave started, when punk started. That's not real music.
People get upset when they think that people are getting away with something.
Uh-huh.
Especially when they are.
But does the music say something?
Like,
does it speak to you, you know?
Well, like that Tone Loc record cost $600 to make because they didn't have any musicians. It was all sampled.
Uh-huh.
And now he's just making, mega bucks off of it. The guy's famous.
Right, but why do people like it?
Because it's something they can listen. I don't know. Caller, what do you think?
Well, I think they like it because it, like, has sex in it, you know, wild thing. Oh, you know, he's talking about sex, so, you know, it's a good thing, you know. And it got played on MTV, you know. You get on MTV and you've got it.
Uh-huh. But the music itself and the words, they've got to speak to you somehow, you know. They've got to, like, say something to you. It doesn't really matter how you produce the record or what you use to make the sounds. If the music speaks to you, or music, like Jim was saying before, is like ideas, you know, things that have existed for centuries. So if you're able to make music speak to somebody, then I think you've earned the right to be a musician. You know, it doesn't matter how you did it, if you used computers or if you used real instruments. Like, you know, some bands use drums off a computer instead of having a person playing the drums. Now, why should that make a difference? The beat is there. If a person is playing a monotonous beat that a computer could do, or even an imaginative beat that a computer can do, does that make it less music? You know?
I think there may be a certain subliminal difference. Well, people who are experts at music or big aficionados with a sensitive ear may detect a difference in a machine-produced music versus human-produced music, but or those who aren't that specifically sensitive to it on the surface may subliminally feel that there's something different, something more mechanical about mechanically produced music versus music produced by a live person playing an instrument. But still, in all, I don't think there's anything wrong per se with mechanically produced music. It's just another way of going about producing sounds that it is reasonably presumed are going to appeal to people, to the people who are making the sounds, and to the people who are listening as consumers to the sounds. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I would, in essence, I agree with you, Eric. And the question of why it seems each generation, when hearing the next generation's music, reacts negatively, or certain people in each generation react negatively to the next generation's music, I don't think it's something that's specifically germane to just music. I think it's something indicative of a of a social phenomenon.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think a few things are at play, and I'm not speaking based on expert studies. This is just my feeling for it. I think that some people in an older generation may feel jarred by the less familiar of the younger generation's music, and at the same time, there's I think also the phenomenon where an older generation is going to naturally associate some very pleasant memories of their either childhood or adolescence or young adulthood with the music that they listened to at that time. And when they've gotten, let's say, into middle age or older years, may like to listen to that music in and of itself because it's something that they become accustomed to and enjoy, which I think is fine. And at the same time, they may have a specific association with their youth and that music, and that's why they may feel closer to it and may feel, again, a certain jarring by newer music. But I want to make it, and I don't think there's anything bad about that. I just think that's a phenomenon. And I also want to make it very clear that I don't think that simply because somebody finds pleasant memories associated with their youth, I'm not suggesting that people have to feel sad because they're middle-aged or elderly. There's nothing to be ashamed or nothing negative about that. There are certain advantages to older years over younger years. But I just think that that's the phenomenon that may be taking place and has taken place, I think, over many years.
It could be that because people feel sad and ashamed to be middle-aged, that's why they feel critical and hostility towards the new stuff. But
that may be.
If you're able to overcome that, not only music, like you said, it applies to a lot of different parts of life, you know. A lot of people become more conservative as they get older because they don't like to change their ways. People don't like to use computers,
mm-hmm.
or they use computers, but they don't like to use the new computers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just, it gets, every generation does this, and if we can somehow break out of that mold, then we find that there's, you know, there's always new things happening in every walk of life virtually. So
I think music is a
microcosm.
I agree with you.
It's kind of funny, though, to think that there are going to be middle-aged people walking around in a few decades that will be remembering pleasantly their adolescence and early years to songs of the Dead Milkmen or something. You know?
That could very well be.
When are they going to hear it? That's what I want to know.
Excuse me?
Will the Muzak station play the Dead Milkmen in between sets? And then they'll say, oh, those are the good old days?
Well, if they don't do that, they may play a Muzak instrumental version of it, which nowadays we hear occasionally on Muzak outlets, instrumental versions of songs that...
Chris, what's going on in there? Chris?
Oh, sorry, Eric.
That's okay.
What are you doing?
No, I'm just playing some more of this stuff.
That's a record, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had me wondering there. We should all talk at the same time so that everybody knows it's not us.
Oh, okay.
Ah, there we are. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a question about it's mentioning music videos.
Uh-huh.
Unless I don't want to interrupt what Chris is playing now.
Is this something from the 40s, Chris, or is this something new?
This is something from Finland.
This sounds.
Wow.
I'm surprised. This sounded like a Harry James record.
Yep. It's very similar.
Surprised by that.
Why don't we take some more calls since we have some more calls?
Okay.
632. Go ahead.
632-6901.
No, that's wrong. It's 632-6901.
6901.
01.
I think to be perfectly precise, it's
now,
zero.
Wait a minute. Say they dial 632-66. Or no.
No.
6961.
No.
Then they'd be in trouble.
Why?
Well, O.
No, because technically it's the digit zero, not the letter O.
Oh. Okay.
6-9-0-1.
Well, that's good. But you see, Eric, that's closer to 6901 than 6901.
Anyway, I think first let's thank the caller who was on. Thank you, caller.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we hope to hear from you soon.
Okay.
All right, let's go to our next caller. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
It's the Know-All. Do all, see all of radio. It's me.
Oh, cut off again.
Okay. He must trigger a certain frequency in the phone company.
Yeah. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, this is Peter from Bayshore.
Peter, good evening.
Hi. I was just thinking, listening to the show here, about how I felt about the 60s as compared to the music of today.
Let's
and,
hear it.
And what happened with me was I got used to the old names, Pink Floyd, the Beatles, and stuff like that. And eventually, a bunch of new groups came in, and I didn't know who they were, groups like The Cars and things like that. And I said, I don't know who they are, and therefore I didn't go out and buy the albums. I just wasn't interested in them. I thought that the groups from the 60s would go on forever for some reason.
And some of them
and
do.
And when they didn't, I got disappointed in music, and I just stopped keeping up with what's going on.
Uh-huh. But some of those groups...
Are you following me?
Yeah, well, you felt comfortable. It's just like after you go out with somebody for a long time, you feel comfortable.
Yeah, you sort of feel... And I remember a music director once saying, the music you listen to as a teenager is the greatest music in all the world, as far as you're concerned.
Because that's the stuff that
yeah.
you're taking in with all your friends, yeah.
Yeah. So today I'm listening mainly to Christian music, although I listen to a lot of secular music, because you can't help but to do that. I listen to a lot of contemporary Christian music, and I find that it's whether you like music or not is nothing more than opinion, because a lot of the Christian music isn't up there quality-wise. But the message is there,
uh-huh.
and that's all I really want to hear.
I see.
And, you
so
know,
you take,
got some music in there. And
that's interesting, taking your music for your message.
Yeah.
And ignoring the production or promotion.
Well, some of the production is good. You know what it is? I got used to it.
Uh-huh.
And when I what I think is good, a lot of people think is trash.
Yeah.
Because they're used to something else, you know, higher
yeah, well,
level or whatever. What
well, everybody experiences that.
Yeah. So I just sort of got used to that. And to me, that's good, mainly because the lyrics are there. I mean, you could beat a rock and yell Jesus, and I'll buy your record. You know, well, not necessarily to that extreme, but that's where I'm at musically now. And I listen to a lot of the secular stuff, and I listen to the lyrics, and I just say, well, it sounds so damaging. I mean, some of the titles are the poison. I mean, why would you like poison? I don't understand. I can't grasp that.
It's the bad boy image. It's very popular. Look at Donny Osmond coming back with this stupid bad boy image. And
leather jacket.
Now when people see me wearing a leather jacket...
Yeah, I heard about that. I haven't heard the song yet. But
well,
I just don't see Donny Osmond doing that.
Well,
I can't imagine it.
Well, that's the whole thing. Everybody's into this stupid bad boy, but it's not really a bad boy because they don't do anything bad and...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Michael Jackson.
I know. It's just.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. I'm bad.
He is bad.
I don't know what he means
he's
by
horrible.
Bad, though.
He's horrible.
That's a ghetto term.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what I'm bad means. If I say I'm white, so if I say I'm bad, it means I'm bad. Like, I don't know what it means in the ghetto.
I don't know. Well, let's take some more calls. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye.
You know, Chris, I take exception to something you said.
What?
I don't think everybody does that. I don't think everybody knows what it's like to have other people say the music you listen to is trash.
Everybody feels that.
No, but too many people listen to what everyone else listens to, and they only listen to it if everyone else listens to it.
But then I walk up to them, and I say, that is garbage.
You don't walk up to everybody, you see. There's a lot of people you haven't reached yet. I mean, just go to the mall. You know... There are people that just listen to whatever. I mean, they don't really have an interest in hearing something different or strike. It's a way of being an individual, you know.
Yeah.
And I think if everyone just sort of, even at random, bought a record and just no matter what anybody else said, you listened to it a few times until you started to know it and started liking it.
Uh-huh.
Then you'll realize how many more things there are rather than, you know, listening to commercial radio all the time. I think if everybody had access to the kind of records we get every week here at the radio station, if everyone had access to all of that, you'd see a lot of interesting things develop.
I know a lot of people started to like me because I could fit them with the music or a band that they could have all to themselves. You know, I'd like throw a record their way and say, hey, check this out, and that would be greatly appreciative. And it helped me out a great deal. Let's get some more phone calls, some more opinions on the air. We're here at WUSB. And Eric Corley, who is right now changing a tape here at the WUSB studios. We've only got a half hour. We only have a half hour left, so let's get your calls in now. 632-6901. Good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Giamina smokes dope.
Oh, we can't have that. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Oh, they hung up in last try. Good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Hello. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are on the air.
Oh, really? Is this talk limited to pop music, or?
Well, what other type of music would you like to discuss?
Well, I was just listening to the show and listening to, you know, you talk about mechanical music and so forth. And
industrial type stuff, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I went to Batman a couple of nights ago and heard the completely synthesized, you know, soundtrack. And as far as quality goes, I mean, it's very high quality stuff, but the timbres are all kind of, you know, mixed together, and it's kind of boring to listen to. And not only that, you know, computerized music may improve, and I'm sure it will in the next few years, but I think right now it hasn't reached the point where, you know, most listening audiences should have to listen to that stuff.
Yeah, because the sounds are so one-dimensional.
Right, exactly, yeah.
I see where you're coming. Yeah, it's like everybody has the exact same sounding guitar, right?
Yeah, well, I was thinking this is like a complete orchestra. They were synthesizing mostly through the movement, you know, violins, horns, oboes, so forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people, even some musicians, they get used to this sound, and then once they realize what they're listening to, it takes a while, but they realize it's not, you know, it's just not real. And it's not as good. The quality is not as good.
Mm. I don't know if
I just thought I'd get my 2 cents in.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if the caller obviously can't hear me, but you can hear me, right, Chris?
I can hear you.
You know, I like to look upon the synthesizers and the sampling computers and all that kind of thing. People say, well, that's not real. A guitar, a drum, that's real, right? But
well, no, I think he was just saying that not that it isn't real, but that it's very one-dimensional, that everybody has the same sound.
It's one-dimensional if you're not imaginative with it. I don't think it's the device itself that's one-dimensional.
Yeah.
But look upon the sampling machine and the computer and the synthesizer. That's an instrument, too. If it encompasses other instruments, then it's another instrument that encompasses other instruments. But you can do an infinite number of things with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all up to the imagination and also the taste of the listener.
And the music industry to promote the use or abuse. See, the thing is...
The industry,
I think that's what really stinks. Wait, I have to talk about these synthesizers.
Yeah.
They are extremely, and I mean extremely expensive.
Uh-huh.
Unless you're going to get a complete piece of garbage. But something that can really do something costs a lot of money. And I seriously doubt that...
So you rented it in a studio.
You know how much a studio with that type of equipment costs an hour? $175.
Hey, you sneak in after hours. I don't know. There's got to be a solution. If you're really into it, you'll do it somehow.
See, I have my acoustic guitar. I can mess around with it for endless hours, and eventually something weird comes out, and I'm into it.
But the more something...
You gave me a, what do you call, some $50 zillion synthesizers,
right.
Maybe I'd come out with something bizarre also, but... I'm not going to at this moment.
Chris, the more technology advances and the more popular things get, the less it costs. I mean,
true.
Look at computers. You could buy a computer 10 years ago. Now you can do it. Anyone
can hold
of a computer somehow.
Actually, I couldn't buy anything right now.
But you could use a computer, okay?
I could use a computer.
Right. They're all over the place. And who knows? The same thing might happen with synthesizers and sampling machines and things like that.
Who
actually,
knows?
Sampling machines aren't that expensive.
But they don't sound right. They don't sound real.
You know, I disagree.
The sampling machines that you can afford...
They sound different.
It's that you say something like, hello, and it comes out like, oh.
Well, that's not the good ones, then. Because I've heard it sound
much better. Where it goes, It's like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, you haven't looked at the good ones.
All right.
Take some calls.
All right, let's take some calls. Area code 516-632-6901. Let's get... your opinion on the radio, WUSB.
Stony Brook.
Good evening, you are on Brain Damage.
How you doing, guys?
Pretty good. Who's this?
This is Bill calling from Selden.
Bill from Selden, how you doing?
Well, I just wanted to change the subject just a little bit.
Let's hear it.
I had an observation that this weekend, July 4th weekend, is when this country celebrates its independence from an oppressive government.
Okay.
Over 200 years ago. Uh-huh. And what do we do it with? Chinese fireworks.
Oh, wow. Now, that's interesting. Mm.
I thought about it, and it kind of struck me funny, you know? It's like, wow, it's interesting. Mm. But that's about it.
Can you imagine if one of those Chinese fireworks went astray and hit an American flag and lit it on fire?
I had another thought about that, too. What if you just remove, like, say, you remove one of the stars, then it's not an American flag anymore, and you can...
That's right.
You can burn away all you want.
Someone else came up with that very suggestion. You take like an old like 13-star flag and you burn that, or you add an extra star, or you know...
Remove a stripe.
Remove a stripe or do something else to it.
Yeah, sure. Have you ever seen some of that flag art? Lister was showing me some of this flag art. Lister Hugh and Lowe, who does Saturday's Party. And some of the things that these artists are doing with flags is really incredible.
Really? I am not familiar with it.
It's very big now.
I just want to say, George Bush knows about Lister.
How do you know this?
I just know he knows about Lister, and he has plans.
I think George Bush, one amendment
for him, actually.
Well, I think George Bush does Lister's show, and Lister's on vacation, doesn't he?
No, that's... who is that does his show? Who does Lister's show, and he's not here?
I think it's George Bush.
It's not George Bush.
We don't know who the Bush is.
Saturday's a party with George Bush.
No, it's not.
No, I really think so.
No, every day's a circus with George Bush. That's what you.
Well, whatever he calls, but he's. I've come up here on an occasional Saturday when Lister is away, and there is George Bush. I mean, the place is filled with Secret Service men. Naturally, I can understand that to protect the president. But George Bush is sitting at the console,
console. No, Jim, he's doing production. He's not doing a show.
I'm sure I've seen him doing a show also.
He doesn't have a license.
Well, he just got one recently, so I'm sure he's not...
He's not a citizen.
George Bush is... I'm sure he's a citizen.
No, he's not.
He couldn't have become president otherwise. George Bush...
He's not of this age or day or time.
All right.
George Bush...
Right. I think you guys are getting silly.
No, really. George Bush does production. You're right. He's doing some editing the other day, but he also occasionally does Lister's show. As a matter of fact... I think he was... Chris, wasn't he supposed to do your show one week, but it turns out that you were able to make it anyway, and so he didn't have
yeah.
to?
Yeah, yeah.
He's on the alternate list for, you know, alternate announcers in case someone...
Fill-in.
Fill-in, yes, in case someone is needed.
George Bush, fill-in.
He's there. And then, I think it has the White House is listed there on the telephone sheet.
Yep, 928-7005. There he is,
there
George
you go.
Bush.
George Bush.
You call that number, and you talk to George Bush, I guess.
I mean... I'm positive some weeks ago, I turned on WUSB and I heard, Saturday's a party. I'm positive I heard George Bush doing Lister's party.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get some more calls because we're running out of time.
Yeah, someone was knocking on the door, in fact.
Yeah. Okay, so Bill, thanks for calling.
All right, no problem. And just one other side comment about the Chinese fireworks thing is that you think everybody would kind of think, well, maybe we shouldn't buy products from China, you know? I don't know. Well, thanks, guys.
Well, you know, I was in Chinatown, and a whole bunch of Puerto Rican people are selling Chinese fireworks. You explain it to me. Not one Chinese person approached me with fireworks. They're all Puerto Rican. I don't understand it. Only in New York. And they're being bought by the yuppies.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, take it easy, guys.
Thanks.
Take care.
How do callers manage to knock when they're ringing?
I don't know. Well, 632-6901, and tell us how you're able to knock. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes. It's Bill Fox.
Bill Fox.
Whoa.
How are you?
Everyone stand at attention.
Put the ganja away.
Bill Fox has made a call. Okay, Bill, you can speak now.
Oh, gee, thank you. Anyway, the knocking is done through just my advanced knowledge of how the Rome phones work.
Jim, you're not standing up. Stand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Well, neither is Chris. Wait a minute.
Hey,
well,
I'm standing.
Chris is operating the console. He's allowed
to. Oh, okay, I'll stand.
You need to be seated to operate the console and keep this great station on the air.
It's true.
Okay, it's official. Jim Wiener is standing.
Okay, be seated.
Thank
okay,
you.
Jim. Okay.
Whoa! In any case.
Okay, so Bill.
Chair fell apart
yes.
underneath me.
Now, I suppose you're going to tell us that one of these days classical music will come back in a rather large fashion.
It's never gone away, dear.
No, but we're talking in mass extremes. Although I have to admit, jazz is coming back. Although it's not really jazz. So it is a perpetrated lie. All right, never mind.
Well,
What are you talking about, Bill?
Never mind. I'm talking to my roommate who's making mischief. Well, I wasn't going to talk about classical music. But I can if you'd like.
No. Please. So what were
sure?
you? Tell us
I
what
you. I mean, Jim Wiener's there, and I have backup now. So
no, let me know what you wanted to talk about, Mr. Fox.
Well, I just wanted to continue the conversation on synthesizers.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it may not be bad when you're trying to invent a sound or invent a tone, but I think to do that, instead of using real instrument and real players, I think you're losing a real sense of artistry.
You're also saving a hell of a lot of money in the long run.
Yes, but you're losing a lot of sense of art. You know, I mean, imagine going to Alice Tully Hall and you see Zubin Mehta playing a synthesizer. It's not the same thing.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it's a...
It didn't cost as much either.
That's no, but it also depends upon what kind of experience you're looking to get, and I think that one of the nice things about humans performing is, particularly in live performance, there's an interaction taking place in the performance between the artist and the audience. I think in some ways it would be akin to a stage play where instead of having live actors... people had pre-recorded lines set up to be played back at certain moments with still photographs of actors in character just standing up on the stage. I mean, you'd still get a sense of what was going on, but you wouldn't get the
flavor.
The flavor and the fluid experience of the
And the kind of a very human type of analysis.
Absolutely. And the same thing I feel goes with music. I think that there's something can be exciting or enriching about sitting in an audience, and I know Bill himself, so he can talk from the perspective of performer but sitting in an audience and seeing a group of people. Whatever the music might be, I'm not talking about only classical music, although that's included, but whatever the music might be, seeing a group of people performing, human beings performing, I mean, if that involves synthesized sounds, that can also have a very exciting aspect to it, if there are humans that are doing it.
Yeah, but the thing is, with something like a... I know I stopped going to classical concerts and a lot of jazz concerts, mainly because... with the volume, it just would get you so annoyed that someone would be sitting behind you or in front of you, and they'd think they're in front of their VCR and just start talking to the person next to them.
Yeah, that's...
It just drives me up the wall, so I can't take it. So I go to a concert where it's 120 decibels and you can't hear yourself think, much less the person standing next to you, mm-hmm. So you don't care about it. See,
well, that's an individual consideration, and I think,
but I think
know,
that's a common thing that's subliminal in a lot of people, though, and I think that's what's killing a lot of quiet music. In fact, I wanted
right.
to form a quiet band that plays at loud volumes,
doesn't that quite defeat the purpose, Chris? Though I mean,
no, but
if you purposely.
See, this way you could get the MTV, or not MTV, I should stop cutting on it, the TV generation who are used to, this is MySpace, you know, no consideration for others.
Well, yeah, I think...
You know, get them to...
that can have an effect
stand
also.
Stand in line, as it might be.
That can have
well,
an
I don't know,
also.
Maybe there were annoying people at classical concerts 30 years ago. Who knows? 632-6901, we've only got about 14 minutes left here on Brain Damage. You're on WUSB. Let's get some more calls.
Okay, I'll speak to you soon then.
Take care.
Take care, Bill.
Baby.
Bye, Bill.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling.
And
632-6901.
6901. Let's get some more calls so that in case this is someone we don't like, we're not left hanging. Well, I say we just take it. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello. What is your opinion of the axing of
Dave? Oh, man. Cut off again. I don't know.
The axing of...
The axing of... I don't know.
Of somebody, I guess.
Who would he have said... The axing of his phone call, maybe? I don't know. 11:47.
Who got axed? Professor Griff got axed.
Yeah. In fact, that whole Public Enemy story is very interesting.
Yeah? Tell us
very
about it.
Very interesting.
Tell us about it.
Okay.
But tell us, and then we'll take some more phone calls. Let's get some phone calls. 632-6901. Go ahead.
They've disbanded. correct?
That's what I've heard.
That's what everybody's saying in the papers. But why are they booking shows for September?
Because they got a new album coming out in October.
Yeah. And so this is a very interesting thing.
Well, have they been booking concerts since then?
I had a reliable source tell me that they have been booking concerts as of last week.
I'll tell you something, Chris. If they go on booking concerts, and if one day they show up at those concerts, the average person is going to realize that they're not broken up.
Yep, and they'll say...
They can't fool people like that.
This was a media hype blitz.
Don't believe it.
In order to get more interest in the band. You know, they're saying something, or someone in the band was saying something radical that would offend a lot of people. Everyone turns around and looks, and then people believe the hype.
Uh-huh.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. Now, let me make a request of our listeners, not affecting the two people on the line already, but one person on the line already. People who are listening, I'd like to hear from someone who is, let's see.
You'd like to hear from anybody, wouldn't you?
Well, I would like to hear from anybody, but in particular, I want to hear from somebody in the teenage sector. Let's say 15. What do you think of that as a good
15, age? Okay.
If you're 15, you're listening to us now, we want to hear from you. We want to know what kind of music you listen to and what you think of music that has gone on beforehand, you know,
oh, this
60s,
kind of...
70s, 80s. God, I can't believe there's so many decades now. And what do you think, you know, what do you listen to? Where does that fit in, you know, and what's going to happen in the future? Because believe it or not, a lot of these 15-year-old kids listening to music today, their younger brothers are going to be listening to something else 5 years from now, and they're going to say, that's a load of crap. That's not like the music I listen to today.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want to know, are there people out there, you know, who are listening to something? So if you're 15, give us a call. If you're not 15, give us a call, too. We'd like to hear.
And if you're 15 and you couldn't make a call at 10 minutes to midnight, we understand.
Oh, 15-year-olds around?
Yeah.
And about?
Come on, just
And the rates are cheaper now than they ever will be.
Sneak downstairs. Tell Mom it was a cheap call.
That's right.
632-6901.
I mean, it could be one of those conference lines, right? They're a dollar a minute. We don't cost that, do we?
No.
It costs like 10 cents or something for the whole call.
Yeah.
So, where is everybody? Come on, what's going on here? We're talking to you, 632-6901. Don't make us angry.
We know who's on that other line, don't we?
We'll talk all the time.
No.
You know? We won't play any music.
We know who's on this other line.
Do we?
Actually, I have a whopper of a tune to close out the show with.
Well, it's not time to close out yet, so let's hear from some people on music stuff. Is it possible that music is a dead issue, you know?
Is it possible that music is dead? Is music dead?
I don't know. That's
what do you think?
Thought.
Jim, what do you think?
No, certainly not.
Certainly not.
I've heard people say rock is dead. In fact, I think it was The Who that said it. People say it all the time, but it's never really dead. You know, do you consider rap music to be rock?
Did you see that whole thing with on Star Trek where they wanted to see if Data was a living person or not?
Data,
whatever. And what was it? Was he intelligent? Was he such and such? And was he satient?
Uh-huh.
Is music intelligent? I'd say there's some intelligent music out there.
What, are you going to prove that music is alive?
Yeah.
It's a living, breathing creature?
Let's hear somebody prove that music is alive today.
Right, let's hear from some people. 632-6901.
6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi.
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 My name is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I know you're looking for a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I'm 17.
Oh, that's good.
Close enough.
Gave you guys.
Close enough.
Okay.
So what music do you listen to?
Well, coincidentally, I just got home from a concert.
Ooh.
I went to see the Scofflaws at Hector Park.
All right.
Yeah, it was a really great show. I had a great time. I don't know. What do you want to know?
Well, how does that fit into your lifestyle and other things like that? Do you listen to, first of all, do you listen to diverse music?
Yeah, pretty much. Some things I don't particularly care for, but...
Like what?
Country music.
Ooh, country music, okay.
Well, do you normally listen to non-commercial radio?
You mean like WUSB?
Yeah, like WUSB, WXCI, WPKN.
Oh, you know, most things you really can't get in.
Yeah.
But I do listen to USB pretty often.
Okay, well, all right. And,
what do you think of music from the 60s?
You mean like rock?
Yeah.
Rock? Yeah. That stuff is really good. I just, you know, and the more psychedelic stuff is really interesting.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, when you get down into the really old stuff, you know, like...
Like what?
Like, you know, early 50s.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, it just really doesn't interest me that much.
Yeah, I could see that. But what
you
about...
mean stuff like Elvis?
Well...
I think pre-Elvis, right?
Pre-Elvis?
Yeah, oh. Pre-Elvis, probably.
Buddy Holly.
Oh, I love Buddy Holly.
Well, he's big-time 50s.
Yeah, I don't know, I mean, there are some... You know, the things that you hear really often... You know, like things that I'm exposed to.
Yeah, that's generally what you think that you like, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the things that I'm not exposed to often, that I'm not used to, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to explain, I guess.
Well, how about your friends? Are they into pretty much the same thing you are, or is there a lot of different things going on?
Oh, everybody listens to different things.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't judge people by the music that they listen to.
Well, is there a particular band or even a style of music that you listen to that you notice that your friends just sort of say, I don't understand that kind of music, anything like that?
I don't understand.
Well, is it, you know, a kind of music that only you listen to, or maybe a few other people, but it's just it's not very popular, it's not mainstream in your circle of friends?
I don't know, I kind of like opera.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And your friends don't like it?
No, not most of them.
That's a lot of people don't like opera. Whenever you're going down the dial and you hear somebody singing away, everybody goes crazy, covering their ears. Turn that off. I can't handle that, you know?
But the thing is, if you're exposed to it in the right environment, you could change. I used to hate opera.
Exactly.
But then I saw that movie Aria,
mm-hmm.
and ever since then I've loved opera.
Yeah.
I listen to it all the time.
That's what you need. You need a
positive reinforcing thing.
There are songs that I used to hate. There was Al Stewart, Year of the Cat. Remember that song?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I hated that song when it came out. I couldn't stand it. But then I saw a video, right, and I saw this guy playing the saxophone instead of hearing it, and I just realized, wow, that's pretty cool, the guy playing the saxophone there. And, you know, and from that point on, I liked it because I was exposed to it in a different kind of environment.
So maybe that's where MTV is helping out music that may be a little a bit shy or something.
Yeah, but with MTV, you only get that one environment, you see.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I like to see records used in films, you know, against backdrops of scenery, because you see somebody else's interpretation and you see another way of looking at the same song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like, and that
but
should be done more often.
Something like that thing that Prince did, I don't know how much he saw of the movie. Jennifer, do you think Prince saw the Batman movie when he made the soundtrack?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. It's hard to tell.
Because I really don't see a connection between the music and the film.
Do you remember hearing about music videos in Mozart's day?
No.
Well, this was quite something, you know, because
they...
Oh, okay. Well,
Jim is getting silly.
Some other time.
We've only got 5 minutes.
You're right.
Let's plow through these calls, eh?
Okay, we'll plow through. Jennifer, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I'm having a party on Monday night if you want to
All right.
By.
Go right, Chris.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, I'm 19.
Oh, 19-year-old. Getting a little bit older here.
Yeah, I don't know. Will I be worth it?
Yeah, you'll be worth it.
Okay.
So what's the... what is the music that you are in tune to?
Well, I pretty much listen to a little bit of everything. I like a lot of alternative rock right now, but I also like some hardcore, some ska music, reggae, classical music.
Now, that's
pretty
it.
Much everything.
That's interesting.
Well, we're
she,
talking
she
to...
She said hardcore music wasn't alternative.
Lisa. What? Hardcore is... Yeah.
No, alternative music and hardcore.
Did you say that? First of all, what's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa?
I don't know if she can hear me.
Lisa, can you hear Eric?
No, I can't.
Oh, okay. Well, he said that... you said hardcore was not alternative by saying, I like alternative music and hardcore, et cetera, et cetera. Hello?
Oh, we embarrassed her away.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I didn't mean to, you know, to
oh, sorry,
point Lisa. To that, but...
might have just gotten cut off by accident.
No,
that was definite. Hang on.
That
up
was
there.
A definite.
Most
I heard
definite.
That.
But, I mean, I think that's very interesting, you know, that people would consider hardcore not to be alternative.
Okay.
I mean, that tells you something about, you know, the acceptance of
Eric, you know she's cursing your name right now.
Well,
I don't know about that. I really think it could have just been...
You don't have people cursing your name. You don't have people praising your name.
Well... Let's plow through these calls.
Go ahead.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
She can call back.
Hey, girl.
Well, I didn't hear what he said. Did you hear what he said?
Not quite. I think it's best that we didn't.
Okay, well, last caller. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, we're on 16, so...
Oh, good. We have somebody to say. What's your opinion?
What's my opinion? Well, I guess, what do you want to know? Like, what kind of music I listen to?
Yeah, and in your opinion of music in general now.
Well, I listen to a lot of punk, reggae, classical, you know, a lot of that sort of thing. I don't listen to, like, the pop and top 40 music, because I don't really think that has anything relevant to say.
That's a neat mix.
So...
Yes.
Punk, reggae, and classical.
I don't know.
I like that. Where do you hear this stuff? Do you have tapes, or do you listen to it?
Yeah, tapes, records mostly. Listen to USB. It's about the only station I can get, I can pick up on my radio that...
Well, where do you live?
Where I live, Stony Brook.
Oh, okay.
Can the caller hear me?
Get what, that and PKN, yes, and that's about it. So...
Yeah, and you don't want to listen to WPKN.
Well, on occasion.
I'm just pulling a... Actually, they have an excellent show on Saturday nights.
Really?
Yeah. Capital Radio. Very good.
But it ends before our show begins.
It occasionally ends. But quite often I forget to listen to it, so...
Oh, okay. But, all right, well, we're going to get to some other calls.
All right.
And thanks for calling.
All right.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Huh?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Chris, and I'm 15.
Chris. All right, we got one.
We got a 15-year-old person at long last. All right, the person we really want to talk to, Chris.
Yes.
What is your opinion of music today?
Some of it's good, and some of it's, you know... I mostly listen to, like, rock and heavy metal, so...
Do you rely heavily on the opinion of your friends?
No, not really. That's not, like, what I always listen to. Like, everything I listen to, like, a lot of my friends listen to different stuff.
How different?
Like, they'll listen to 60s, 70s music, and also today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So it's like a lot to draw from.
Yeah, that's it. I see that they, that whole thing that Jennifer pointed out, a lot of the people will have their own thing, you know, because there's a lot of diversity. I guess way back when, like you were saying, Eric, all anybody had was the Beatles. So they'd listen a lot, you know, the vast majority. Now they can pick and choose from anything.
Well, that's true.
And the whole show wraps to a nice close at...
Well, I'd just like to ask the caller one more thing. If there is... can the caller hear me?
Can you hear Eric?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a radio nearby?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll ask Chris, and Chris will ask you.
No, Eric, why don't you just pick up the line?
That's true. I could do that.
All right, so...
can you hear me?
I guess, okay, you see, I sound like I'm talking in a tunnel now. Okay, well, my question basically was, is there anything that you listen to today that everybody in your group listens to? Like, you know, the equivalent of a Beatles type thing.
Yeah, like with my friends, a lot of them, like, listen to the same stuff, like Guns N' Roses and Metallica.
Uh-huh.
We mostly all listen to that.
Uh-huh.
I see.
And
let me just ask one more question here in the tunnel. Is there something that you hate with every fiber of your being? What kind of music do you really hate?
I think that's a good question.
Yeah. Very good question.
I like pop music, I guess. Like,
define that.
I don't hate it that much, but I hate it.
Ask him to define that. Chris, ask him to define that.
Oh, define pop music. Eric wants to know.
Like...
Milli Vanilli?
What?
Stuff like that?
Yeah.
What about you two? Are they pop music?
Yeah, but they're not that bad. I like them. They're original and everything.
I see. Well, Eric.
Okay, well, I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm happy.
Well,
thank you very much, caller.
All right.
Your name was Chris, right?
Yep.
All right, Chris, thanks for calling. Thanks to all of our callers. And
your name is Chris, too.
My name is Creepy Crowley, and you can hear me on every other Tuesday afternoon. Jim Wiener, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Nick, you can pull the knife out of my back now. I realize it's time for me to get off the air. And you have been listening to Brain
Damage. What about
me? Eric,
you. You forgot me.
Thank you for having
me. My show, and you don't even say my name.
Thank you for having me on your show, Eric.
I know, I could destroy you for that.
Thank you.
It was definitely a blast to all my friends. We are having a party on Monday night. Give me a call if you want to find out about it. 632-6901. Thanks to everybody. WUSB Stony Brook.